Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, and that we can rejoice for all the good things that you give to us, Lord, the way you are ministering and providing for everything that we need. We just praise and thank you. And thank you above all for your word that guides us, empowers us, strengthens us, and gives us victory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I've been talking quite a bit about speaking in tongues. Now it has been 2-3 months. And one of the things I wanted to do is to make a kind of a summary. I want to change topic today, but I thought that I shared something last Thursday with the people coming to the meeting last Thursday, which is a confession about tongues. And I thought that may be beneficial for others to hear it too. I'm going to put it on the website so that you can download it. It's going to be in the area, I don't know yet where it's going to be, but you're going to find it. And it's just a summary of all the basic truth that the Word talks about speaking in tongues, so that people can, in a way, benefit from them and appropriate everything that the Lord wants to do through that mean, through that way that we pray. One thing I wanted to say, that since when I started teaching that, I gave a challenge here to put people to actually do that, praying tongues more and praying tongues regularly, I noticed something to myself, because I did the same. You know, when I put somebody else challenge, I do it for myself too. And so I just been doing that also. And I noticed something, that many of the things that I already knew before, now I know them in a different way. Like, I know them on a deeper level than I knew it before. It may be the same truth, but it means something different to me. It's something that's completely not logical. It's just there. So that the things I was sharing that give us revelation, this is really what it's all about. That you get a degree of revelation on things that your mind even knew before, that are beyond what your mind can figure out. And if you just go around digging for it or allowing it to come up, you get that understanding that you didn't even know you had. It's very interesting the way it works. You see, because it's not through your mind, and you know that it's not through your mind, but it's through your spirit. And so there is a connection that is established at a deeper level that you can actually realize, yep, is having an impact and having an effect. Okay, so I thought maybe, you know, it's a good thing to make a confession about that so that others can appropriate. Not only that, but one of the areas that the Lord was really ministering to me, and this happened, again, not very logically, but the way it just the Holy Spirit works. Okay, I've been doing confessions all the times here, or trying to do them, while at the end of the service. And one of the things that happened, and I have an understanding about that, that I knew that about that all the time, but didn't quite hit as it hits now on me. So I decided to actually preach on confession for a while, so that you can get the benefits from it. Because God gave us ways to receive from him. And there are things we had to do. God doesn't do everything. God does certain things, but expect us to do the rest for fulfilling what he wants to achieve. Expect us to participate. Us to do everything with participation. We are co-workers with him. He just doesn't do things. You know, when he split the Red Sea, he just didn't split the Red Sea. Moses had to go with the stick and says, come and see. And so, and the thing split. See, he uses our faith. And he uses our words. And so this is part of the contribution, if you want, or the part that we had to play in receiving things from God. Confession is one of them. It's not the only one. So I want to just talk about it enough so that you can benefit, because this is another weapons that God has given us to make us effective in the things of the Spirit, the things that we want to do. Now, this is, if you want the topic of this confession that I have here, it's a bit long, but that's okay. You can come along with me. And then we can start preaching on the topic. Okay. But here is a confession about tongues for self-edification. It's taken all by from the scripture for appropriating all the benefits of speaking in tongues. So you repeat with your mouth, after me, but believing with your heart. Because, you know, if you just go around like a parrot, parrots cannot exercise faith when they say, hello. They just repeat. All right? You are not a parrot. You are a child of God that works by faith the same way as God works by faith. So what has to happen here that you believe with your heart and you speak with your mouth. All right? So we start there. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am filled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. It does not come and go. It dwells in me, works in me, empowers me, and manifests in me the spiritual gifts. I speak in other tongues. With my tongues, I speak to God and not to man. I give glory to God and worship Him with my heavenly language. Speaking in tongues helps me to pray according to God's will. I have diversity of tongues. I use different tongues for different purposes. Speaking in tongues does not come from my mind. It comes from my spirit. When I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. When I speak in tongues, I pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays through me. The Holy Spirit helps me to pray according to the will of God, even when I don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit helps me and empowers my prayers. When I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives me rest if I'm weary. It refreshes my soul. He strengthens me and builds me up in my holy faith. My faith is strengthened as I pray in tongues. My spirit is strengthened with spiritual strength in the inner man. I become rooted in the love of Christ as I comprehend the width and depth and height of His love. As I pray in tongues, I sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. Give me strength not to grow weary and not to lose heart. He helps me to do good works. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Praying in tongues releases the power of the one who is in me and enables me to overcome the one who is in the world. I stir up the Holy Spirit in me when I speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit gives me power, miraculous power. He gives me love toward God and others. He gives me a sound mind and the ability to control myself. Speaking in tongues helps me to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the kingdom of God, to manifest the other gifts of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues enables me to develop all the other gifts of the Spirit. It activates the supernatural power of God in my life. As I pray in the Spirit and speak in tongues, God's wisdom becomes more available to my mind. The Holy Spirit revealed to me God's mysteries. I come to understand the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I cannot get this understanding from my mind. I must receive it from my Spirit. And my Spirit receives it from the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. I receive wisdom. I receive understanding. I receive power. I receive discernment. I receive the mind of Christ. I thank you, Father, for making me your son, a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in Christ Jesus. Thank you that I can experience Christ in me, the hope of glory. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when you speak the word, this is actually speaking the word and believing the word and agreeing with the words and allowing the words to manifest themselves in you and bringing them about to make result, to give results in your life, to give you strength. You know, there is so much strength. You should feel the difference from now to where you started before. If you don't, do it again. But you should. If you followed believing, and if you actually participated in this, you should have got results already. Okay. So, this is going to be on, you can download it as a PDF file, and you can have it. I mean, you know, you don't have to be religiously following something like this. This is an example to you of what you can do with the scripture to put them to work in your life. So I'm not saying, you know, go in this. If you want, you can start there if you cannot do it any better. But you have to do that all the time. When you read the scripture, and when I read the Bible, I cannot go farther than 3 or 4 verses without having to stop. Sometimes even one. Because, you know, what I do is actually I do this. I never realized actually what I was doing because it was unconscious. You see, it was natural for me to actually meditate and confess the words that I read. Because that way I was trying to get the understanding and the receiving it, and this produces it. It's not a mental thing, it's not mental analysis of the sentences. You understand that? You know, this is go beyond the mental analysis because activate your spirit. This is the way it has to be activated by the Holy Spirit inside you. And when you do that in faith, and not as a religious monk, you know, playing it and doing this music there, you know, but you do it in faith, then that start to work in you because it start bringing up from your spirit the things that are already there. If you're born again in spirit, I'm not teaching you anything that you don't know. You know all things. But you have to bring them back to your consciousness, in your mind. And even that, I can only do up to a certain point. My sermons are now 1, 2, 3. I think you noticed that. I prepare spiritually to give you a message. And sometimes I don't even go what I prepared, because the Holy Spirit has some other work to do. But when He's working, it produces changes in you if you are connected to what I'm saying. So, the topic that we are going to cover is, the power of confession. And the things that you have to ask yourself is, what are you confessing? What is your confession? Let's start with the definition of the word. Confess, actually, doesn't quite render the original word in Greek that was used for that. You know, which homologeo, which actually means saying the same, you know, the same thought. So essentially, confessing is agreeing about something, generally admitting, revealing something that was hidden before, acknowledging something, and declaring something, professing something. And these are words that sometimes are used for translation of the word in the New Testament. And really, what are you doing? What are you dealing with? You are dealing with the beliefs that you have inside yourself. You are dealing with the sins maybe that you have committed. Because, you know, there is no difference. We're going to see, you know, even confessing sin is not a negative thing when it's done properly. We're going to cover that. Even fault that you have, you can do and be there and flagellating yourself for the mistakes or the sins or the fault that you have, and you are really, your confession is really powerless. Actually, it's going to keep you bound in those things. It's not that that has to be done. I'm going to talk about that in a while. This is actually a spiritual law, parallel to the law of sowing and reaping. See, what you sow with your mouth, you end up reaping. What you sow in your actions, what you sow in your thoughts. You see, everything that you do in a way, it produces results. And so you want to do the right thing. The things that produce good results. You know, lots of people want to get certain results, and they act in the way that they're not going to produce those results. Like, for example, dealing with others. Okay, there are ways to dealing with people to get them to come along with you and agree with you if you deal with them properly. If you deal with them in a negative way or in a way that doesn't work with them, what you're going to get is bang against the wall and you get nowhere. And you say, well, you see, don't want to listen. Well, they don't want to listen because you didn't talk the right way. Hello? Because we react emotionally or because the way we feel we should do, when we are not able to understand how to relate to other properly, we bang against the wall because we produce resistance in them instead of allowing them to listen to what you're saying. Sometimes they just don't want it. That's another story. But we should be able to get many more results. You know, like, see Jesus. And Jesus knew how to talk to people. He wasn't successful with everybody. Okay, the Pharisees were already preconceived. They were already set up. When somebody's set up, you don't try to convince them because you are wasting your time. Well, actually, the Bible says that, although the translation is poor and doesn't reflect that. But the idea is this, that when we know how to communicate something properly, you are going to be much more effective. When we say the right thing, we are going to get the result coming from the things we say. And that is true for others, and it's true for ourselves as a result of what we do for ourselves. So, the Bible has much to say about confession. And this is because confession is connected to what we believe and with our faith. If you want to use another word, you can say what you say is your confession. Isn't that? All right. So, you have your words. Really, it's your confession. And there are different ways of this we are going to see. But the thing is that there is a general principle, there is general spiritual law. That what we focus on, what we look at all the time, we become more and more like that. Or is starting to take over us. Like, for example, if we are sick and we look at our sickness all the time, we empower the sickness instead of empowering the healing process. What we should focus on is that we are getting healed so that the healing process, the whole functioning of the body can work in that area instead of the other way. And God has made it in such a way so that's the way it works. You know, our faith operates in our body so that we get results. Okay? So whatever we look at, whatever we focus on, you're going to go. If you fog about all your shortcomings and things, you're going to stay in your shortcomings and mistakes and faults. If you only focus on other people's shortcomings and things, you are not going to help them. You're going to just put them down. Hello? So we have to look at people the way God looks at people. And God looks at people about their potential, what they can be, not what they are. That includes you. Hallelujah, because in me. Otherwise, I'll be still what I was before. Amen? All right. The only thing we do is confess weaknesses. We have a choice. We can confess our weaknesses or we can confess our strengths. We can confess our victories or we can confess our defeats. I mean, nobody wins all the time, but what are you focusing on? You know, we can focus on sickness and we can focus on health. And we have the choice to confess the right. We can confess abundance or we cannot confess lack. The thing is, it's a choice we make what we look at. It's a choice we make of what we focus on. It's a choice we make in what we keep on confessing. If the only thing we look at is the problem, you see, it's natural. The natural man looks at all the problems because he wants to avoid the problems. But by looking at the problems, the only thing they do is repeat the same mistakes all over and over again. The spiritual man looks at God's promises and look at the potential that is there and is going to move in that direction instead of moving in the other. And we have to learn to do that, to overcome. That doesn't mean that we say, you know, that the problem isn't there. It's very different. But we say, no, that's what I want. That's what I look at. See, that we don't look at our shortcomings. We look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what the Bible tells us to do, and that's what we had to learn to do against what the flesh wants to do, because the flesh says, look, you messed it again, you dummy. And we accept that. See, you can, you say, no, well, you know, yeah, but not next time. You won't get me. All right. We can choose what we believe, and we can choose but we confess, faith is a choice. It's not just a choice, involves also action, but it's a choice that we have to make. It's a choice in what we believe. Okay, let's take some scriptures now and see some of the things that God says about this thing. In James chapter 1, verse 16, you see, we have to have a basis. Everything we do has to have a scriptural basis. This is God's way to show us how to walk according to his principles. And so we have to go there and apply and just walking is speaking too. So verse 16, James chapter 1 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So you see, there is a possibility of being deceived here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. The devil doesn't give you gifts. God gives you good things, the devil gives you bad things. Even a child can understand that, but grown-ups and theologians don't. Okay? They come up with those funny theories. Oh, God is trying to teach you something. Anyway, he says, you know, every perfect gift comes from the Lord, or from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow at turning. On his own will, you didn't turn his hand. You don't need to go praying and spend time and fast and do all the other things for him to do something. He has done it before you even open your mouth. Didn't even hear you adopt the problem. He says, of his own will, it's not that you are going to change God's will by much prayer. By his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. You see, that's the way he does it. He didn't say that he brought forth by the manifestations that you have. He didn't say they brought forth what everybody else says or what you think. He said he brought you forth, he gave you victory, he gave you by the word of truth. That means his word is what is going to make you move toward where you have to go, where you want to go, through the, you know, the perfect and good and perfect gifts. The good things that God has in store for you comes in one way, through his word, period. Not by what you see. People want to have manifestations to get things from God, when instead manifestations can come from anywhere. That we may be the kind of first fruit of his creation. So, you know, we are going to be the first one to actually manifest what he wants to happen in his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. To hear what? We should know that before, because we said it already. The word. Hear what the word says, not what anybody else says. You know, it's not, ear is not hearing anything. I mean, you know, go to everybody and listen, talk about, and they get more confused than when you started. You had to hear the word. You had to go to the word to hear the truth. It's the truth that makes a difference. Number one, slow to speak. What is very clear, watch your mouth. We're talking about speaking. You know, be careful what you say. Now, you know, we are going to see that there are different ways of saying things. You know, you can say things silently, and you can say things aloud, and you can say things before people, and you can say things by yourself. And all these different things have different effect on you. But the word talks about speaking, a lot about speaking. So watch your mouth, number two. As slow to wrath. Now, this is a poor translation. Has nothing to do with wrath. The word there means desire. I mean, don't go by your feelings. Don't go by reacting to things that happen to you. Don't react to situation. Be slow and take it easy. Because that is the flesh pushing you to do the wrong thing. So somebody does something to you that you don't like and you blast to them. And they mess up all the relationship. Hello? And that's not what God wants you to do. You want, you know, the word there is very clear. You know, this that never fit with me with the other things. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, people make it only a factor, you know, that one is to get mad with others. This is not only about me. Getting mad with some other people is just a little component of what the word is saying there. Are you following me? Still there? Good. So the idea is we have to be careful the way we react to situations, because otherwise we get what? We said at the beginning of verse 16, do not be deceived. That's what the thing, you know, our senses, our flesh, which is our senses, is going to deceive us, because it's not going to go according to the true word of God. It's going to go according to what we have been trained in worldly ways. Okay? We have to learn to watch your mouth, not to confess things contrary to the word of God, and not to get pulled away or turned away or deceived by our feelings. So we confess the word. When we confess the word, we agree with God. We are, the word agree or confession is, the, you know, really should be the same thing. You know, homologos or homologeo. You know, the same thing. You say the same thing with God. And really what you're saying is the word. If you're saying his word, you cannot be in disagreement if you believe it. But the point is, the believing is just as important as the confessing actually has to come before. Okay? Confess what the word of God says, not what the devil says. See, the physical world is under his control to a degree. Your confession must agree with the word of God. In Proverbs 6:2 says, you know, use a snare with the words of your mouth, and you are taken with the words of your mouth. So you see, when you start agreeing with the devil, you focusing on him, you're focusing on his job, you're focusing on what he's trying to do and make you do and focus on, and you become that more and more. I am a sinner. Yeah, okay, well, go around sinning. When you start believing, you said it, I'm a saint. God changed me. So you sin. Oh, I sin. That's not me. I shouldn't do that. And you reject it. You're going to see that. Also, part about confession of sins is important, but it's not confession of, I messed it again. Slap, slap. Flagellate. Feel sorry for yourself. Go around moping around for 2 weeks because you messed it again. That's not what God wants. It's wasting your time. Empowering the devil instead of empowering God. So when we read the Bible, we had to learn to read it slower. And after you read it more slowly, you need to read it more slowly. Because the slower you read it, the better it is. You see, you had to give the chance to your brain to catch up what it's saying. And it's really, your brain has a real problem because it's trying to do a logical analysis, but that doesn't bring revelation. It has to get to your spirit. There is something that is often said, and I may as well say that too. You know, lots of people say, well, you know, I got it in my mind, but I didn't get it in my heart. You know, that's wrong. Completely wrong. What has to get to is in your mind. Because if you're not in your mind is not renewed. And if your mind is not renewed, doesn't matter how much you listen to it, you know, it's not the predominant thought about that particular thing. You see, it's not a question of the heart, or you want your spirit. God, it already is there if you are born again. Your mind hasn't got it. Because why? Because there are other thoughts opposite of what you're saying that are contradicting and are counteracting and are annihilating everything that you believe so that you are tossing around from one thing to another. So it's not your heart that needs to be changed. It's your mind that has to be renewed. Are you following what I'm saying? That's a wrong thing that everybody, oh, it takes a long time to go from ear to ear. No, it takes a long time to go from ear to ear. It's the opposite. Often church is upside down. All right. So when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, and you see promises, or you see anyone in the Bible is full of that, things that God has provided for you, you start looking and say, oh yes, I like that. And instead of passively agreeing with it, say, oh yeah, that's good, that's nice, and keep going, what you do is you have to appropriate that. So, the moment when you are spending it, instead of just skimming through, you know, some people, I was reading, the minister said, well, you know, you have to read 20 chapters a day, or just keep reading. He said, yeah, sure. You know, it's like, can you imagine taking this in the physical, okay? And you're eating food. And the food goes through you from the top to the bottom in no time whatsoever. The way it comes in is the way it goes out. Do you think that it's going to benefit you? You have to leave it there long enough that it's decomposed, that is changed in structure and assimilated by your blood, and then only is going to do you some good. The word is the same. It's your spiritual food. That's a big graphical, but that's, you know, sometimes that's the way to get it. All right? So, we have to get, when we go to the word, instead of skimming through it, just take your time. It's not quantity that counts. It's quality. One scripture can get you saved. John 3:16. All right? Well, there are some people that have a PhD in theology and they're not even saved. They know the whole book, but they haven't done with it what needed to be done. I want to encourage you or to do it. So I'm thinking what I'm going to do for now. When we take some scripture, we're just going to do a little confession all the time to appropriate some of the things. Okay, what I'm saying to you now here is that, okay, we have to start making the right confession, confessing the right thing, agreeing with God at the level, not in a passive level. When I say something, you say, oh yes, well, it's not good enough. You have to get into it. not just be passive observer, but you have to be active participator. And one way to get that, I mean, you cannot come up and preach here because there will be a lot of confusion. But we can agree and say the same thing. And so we can take the time to actually get you to say something. Talking about negative confession, the first thing you have to learn to do is to recognize a negative confession from a positive confession. Because you can confess your sin and be very positive. So it's not just the fact that you confess a fault or something, oh, I did this wrong, is necessarily a negative confession. You are dealing with the truth. The problem is, what is your position? So, you need revelation on that. Okay? You need to be revealed, okay, how to make the right confession. One of the first things I do when I prepare a message is to connect with the Spirit and try to get the feeling of what space I should be in. Because when I'm in the right space, the things come out right. But if in the negative space, then I'm not going to help you, I'm going to put you down. And that doesn't mean that everything rosy and everything fine. No, some things need to be changed. But yet you cannot change things being negative. You can only feel sorry for yourself. And sorry for yourself doesn't get you anywhere. Okay, let's have a little confession, just a few words, okay? Today I renounce to all negative confessions and embrace every good thing that God has prepared for me. Jesus came to give me life abundantly, and I receive His eternal life today. And I will confess that in Jesus' name. So, Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal and destroy. I come to give you life abundantly. Okay? So we start confessing abundant life. You don't go around saying, times are really tough here. Because you're not going to change your times. There is more abundance in the world than we can ever imagine. Because God is owns everything, and everything that God has is ours. Because we are His children. So the thing we had to get ourselves in the place where we get the inheritance. Okay? But if we don't even go to the reading of the testament, then we are not going to get the inheritance. We read the testament and know what is ours and says, well, I claim this, this is mine. Okay? That's positive, not negative. So the bottom line is this. Our confession must always be a faith confession. And the faith confession is always positive, even if it talks about bad things. Even if it talks about problems. So, for the sin part, we have to talk about next time, because I don't want to go halfway through that. You have to really get it, so that you, when you deal with your shortcomings, you don't go around flagellating yourself, but you go in victory out of them. The scripture actually specifically says that. But we have to read it with the eyes of faith, not with the eyes of defeat. Because the just shall live by faith, not by defeat, not by self-flagellation. Jesus took the stripes on Himself so that we don't need to take them. And we can be grateful about that. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we just thank You and praise You, Lord, for today and for Your word. We believe, Lord, that this is Your will for us to deal with this topic at this time. And we just believe, Lord, that as we are going to learn to speak the word in faith, that we are going to see our lives to become what they're supposed to be rather than what they are today. Anything that is not of You is going to be going away from us because you bring us from faith to faith, from victory to victory, Lord, into the possession of your promises. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.